Welcome to Hockey the Podcast, your favorite hockey podcast on the entire continent, maybe even the entire world. Sorry, reverse stick, I said that. Tonight is a great one. We're going to look back at the Junior Hockey World Cup. We're going to look forward to the Junior Hockey World Cup, and we're going to put our necks on the line and tell you how South Africa are going to do. Tonight I got some good guests to help me go through it and digest it. It's all for you, free of charge, of course, in the next 30 minutes. Here is Hockey the Podcast. Alluded to it already. It's Junior World Cup time. The South African men have left the country. They are on an aeroplane as we speak. By the time you listen to this, they may have landed. No more leaving on a jet plane. They would have landed. They could be in India by the time you listen. And they are on their way to the Junior Hockey World Cup. Of course, it is the 12th occurrence of the Junior Hockey World Cup. And one thing we do know is that if you go to a Junior Hockey World Cup, half of them are won by Germany, having won six of the previous 11. Of course, I say it's the 12th, but South Africa weren't always part and parcel of the discussion after our isolation. We joined for the first time all the way back in 2001 in Australia. We went to 2005, 2009, 2013, 2016, and 2021, all three of the last three in India. How have we done over the time? Well, we finished 11th, 13th, 15th, of course, 12th. And then, very importantly, in 2016, just missing out on the top 10, losing out in a 9th, 10th place playoff. And in fact, just missing out on the top 8 after a tough group stage game against the hosts, India. Maybe some kind of decisions that Rassi Erasmus would not have approved of. But that's water under the bridge. Of course, it's a bridge that we'd like to walk over tonight. And joining me tonight are two people who were involved in the 2016 Junior World Cup. One is the coach, one is the player. And of course, one of them has a very, very keen eye on the action. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's bring in our first guest, head coach of the South African men's hockey side, and regular friend and visitor of Hockey the Podcast, Gareth Ewing Springs. You were, of course, the head coach back in 2016. You know India very well, probably your home away from home. In fact, rumor has it you spend enough time there that you're allowed to apply for residency. But, you know, jokes aside, India, fantastic host for a tournament like this. And for all these youngsters playing their first major tournaments, you can't really ask for a better place.
No, not at all, Tyron. It's a really fantastic place to go and to play hockey. And it'll be an amazing opening to these guys' international touring experience.
Yeah, and obviously we were there, the last time we were there at the Junior World Cup was 2016. It's kind of crazy to think we're talking 5 years ago. Of course, the next one is in 2023 in Malaysia. So just 2 years wait. It feels like an eternity ago. In fact, I actually remember watching the Indian game. I was at Ratanga Junction with a PSR function. And instead of riding rides, all those kids were sitting inside the restaurant watching the hockey. But I mean, when you look back, you must look back at 2016 with some frustration, but a lot of fondness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, just the experience of going to India and playing sport in India in front of such passionate crowds, that that match against India that you spoke about earlier will live long in my memory. It was a really fantastic experience, incredible atmosphere, incredible noise. And, you know, that's something that these new batch of young players can look forward to.
Absolutely, they can. Let's just talk through a bit of 2016. We opened up our tournament with a game against England. We lost 4-2 in that before a resounding 3-1 victory against Canada. It basically meant South Africa and India had a playoff in the last group game for the top 8. And it was a 2-1 defeat, but it was one of those pulsating games that really could have gone either way. Of course, we got our only goal in that game. In the first half, of course, back then you played two halves. It pulled it level. And Springs, I can't remember, but was a draw enough or did it have to be a win?
Yeah, I mean, our goal difference was a little bit unfavorable, so we really did need the win. Actually, quite funny you mentioned that it was still played in halves. I think it was one of the last tournaments around the world that was played in halves, so that was quite interesting for us. That match was, you know, we kind of hurt ourselves against England. We played really well, but we only played well for one half of that match, and the damage was already done early on. Again, classic South African needing a time to settle into a tournament and not hit the ground running. So that did a little bit of harm for us. But that game against India, it was just, yeah, a really, really good game. We were really organized. We played a little bit differently tactically to how we'd done up in the games before that. We're under a lot of pressure against what is a really, really good Indian team. You know, and we almost snatched it right at the end. I think Kyle, who's also on this call, I think he just shaved the crossbar with one of the last plays of the game, and for what would have been a really exciting draw. But again, nonetheless, a really, really amazing game of hockey.
Yeah, it absolutely was an amazing game of hockey. And you mentioned Kyle. Of course, Kyle was on the score sheet in an earlier game. And let's just listen to that moment in commentary again.
Certainly a fan favourite, the penalty corner situations at the moment. South Africa with attempt number 4. They've only mustered 3 shots because the third one wasn't a genuine chance. So will they go to the same spot? I know that it is a crowd favourite where they go with their shot on goal. Line cachet goes to the same spot and it is a goal. Lion Cachet gets South Africa's opener and they level proceedings. They've had a huge amount of possession in and around their attacking D. Another penalty corner opportunity and this time they succeed. The trap is good and Lion Cachet goes to Gill's left mitt. This time a little bit closer to the body. And Ekvindegil unable to keep it out. So persistence pays off for South Africa.
And persistence pays off. Kyle, Lion Cachet. But we can call you Lion Cachet rather if you want, Carl.
It's up to you, Tyne. Doesn't make a difference to me either way. I mean, I've heard it many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, obviously getting to listen to that, getting to think back to that moment. And I mean, I know you've got to play in PHL and IPT, but the Junior World Cup on your hockey CV must be the highlight so far.
No, it was honestly, it was one of the most unbelievable experiences. I mean, I remember that Canadian goal clearly. I was also lucky enough to score against India. So, I just remember how loud that crowd was, and how insane that whole build up to that tournament was. I think we played in 4 or 5 tournaments, maybe even more in the lead up to that. And then just to get there and to experience what it's like to, for a little bit, to play a professional sport, was the most unbelievable experience. Just to like think back on those memories is still to this day, it still gives me goosebumps. It was just, yeah, it was something special. And I think these bunch of players going now are also going to just think back on this for the rest of their lives and be super proud of this achievement, no matter where they go, from here. But yeah, super, super cool experience.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the crowd there. We talk about a time that is very different, obviously, now. Gareth, and you know this quite well, playing in front of an empty stadium offers its own challenges, but also its own advantages. But let's go back to the experience of the Junior World Cup. It's a pretty new experience for many of those players in terms of the size of the competition. You've got a massive crowd. I mean, when we played India, it was almost a packed crowd there in Lucknow. You know, how much of an impact did that make, and what kind of an opportunity is that for these young men to learn not just about the game of hockey, but life itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big opportunity for them. You know, it's a first real test of playing at an elite level internationally. and it's obviously a good indicator for them of their potential as international players. But you're right, it's more than that. It's about how you conduct yourself under pressure. It's about the life experience of traveling to a foreign country, you know, possibly for the first time for many of these guys. And just that opportunity to learn a lot more about yourself and to be with your teammates in a pressure cooker environment for, you know, for 3 weeks. So there's a lot to learn and there's a lot to take in, and there's many lessons to draw from it.
Absolutely. For those who weren't in the mix, South Africa lost to India 2-1 in that final game. I was watching the video just before this of that India game. I mean, it was a pulsating game. A lot of those Indian guys, part of the Indian squad that went and cleaned house at the FIH Awards, but more importantly, went and won a bronze medal at the Tokyo Olympics. A number of those players coming through. A number of the South African players being part of the South African side. Kyle, I mean, when guys are sitting there in that Junior World Cup, I mean, obviously your focus is on that, but you know, what kind of advantage do you think it gives a young player in making that next step up to the national team?
Well, I mean, if you have a look at how many of those guys from my year, I mean, got called up to camps and have gone on to play some hockey at the highest level. I mean, it's an unbelievable platform for your personal growth and to take that kind of next step up the ladder to making it into the senior side. And also, as Springer mentioned earlier, it definitely gives you a taste of that world. Obviously, I've never been to that next step, but it definitely gives you a taste of what it's like to play international hockey. And no doubt is an essential point that all these youngsters are going to go through in their journey onwards and upwards in the South African ranks. I mean, look at guys like Billion, Thule now, that all those guys that have come, Tyson, Pivo, all these boys that have come through a system, Tevin, obviously I can't mention all of them off the top of my head now, but all these boys that have gone on to play at the highest level, and have excelled. And it's a wonderful platform for these players to utilize and to use to build on going on and then into their careers. What an unbelievable experience and what a learning curve. And I think, as Springer mentioned earlier, it teaches you a lot about traveling in a team environment, being able to put up with the stresses of that kind of environment for a long period of time in difficult conditions. I mean, India is a tough place to go play hockey, and you learn about all of that, and you learn a lot about yourself and that environment, and that stands you in good stead, I think, going forward and playing at the senior level.
Well, Kyle, an interesting dynamic. Before I do, I mean, just as you've alluded to, Tyson Dlungwana, Pibo Lembeta, Ryan Julius, Tevin Kok, and Billy Ntuli are all now Olympians who were part of that squad. Of course, Sialana Lutshungu as well was part of the Olympic squad before his injury happened. So, absolutely. But I want to take a step back from that. A lot of the guys in that team, that would have even been the first time they had left South Africa, or maybe the first time they'd left the continent. We know from a previous podcast, Wade Payton said going to India is a beautiful country, but you know, you have to have a fairly strong stomach for it. It's very culturally different. Yeah, what was that experience like? Were you able to take much of that in while also focusing on the hockey?
We did. I think we did, Gareth will correct me if I'm wrong. We did do a couple, I think we did 1 or 2 days where we went around and had a look at what the city had to offer. We were in Lucknow. And we did a little bit of the sightseeing thing. But I think when you go there, you're so super focused on why you're there. And I mean, like I said, we had a massive build-up to this tournament, and Gareth was unbelievable in his approach to the team. And I mean, even just to the university side that I was playing in, Gareth had a very professional approach in everything he did. So we were so focused and ready, and we knew we had a job to do. That when we got there, I think you don't really stop to take it all in, because you're so focused on the job at hand. But yeah, it is a beautiful place. It's very unique, and it's, to what we used to. It's a very different culture. And it's kind of in your face when you're there because the people are just so kind and so helpful. And it definitely makes you realize, there's a lot out there to be experienced. And as you said, some of these guys have never stepped foot off the continent, and then to go overseas and experience that, it's unbelievable. And we definitely did go around and have a look and see what was going on. But I think we were so super focused on the hockey that by the time it was all done, you blink and it's over.
Yeah. And Springs, going back to the hockey, obviously getting knocked out at the group stage, hockey's a bit different. You're not really knocked out. You still play on for positions in a tournament like this. And so you had to lift the team again, and there was a goal because no South African team had ever finished in the top 10 at a Junior World Cup. And you managed to lead the team there thanks to a wonderful victory over Austria. How easy was it to pick the guys up after the gargantuan effort against India and the disappointment that came with that?
Look, it actually wasn't that hard at all. You know, that team had such belief in itself and had such confidence in its ability. And, you know, we'd been scoring goals. We'd been competing. The guys were hungry for that match against Austria, who are actually a really organized, strong defensive team. And it was a really tough game of hockey, and the guys played really, really well. They played with a lot of maturity, and we scored a couple of really beautiful goals in that match. So it wasn't that hard at all. It was actually really, really exciting. I think the hurdle was the ninth and tenth place playoff at the end of the day, because that would have really been the boundary breaking match for us, you know.
And Springs, obviously you've experienced a very similar situation now. You've just gone to the Olympic Games, finished 10th with a near miss against Canada, ultimately costing you 9th place. Goal difference again was not on your side. What were you as a coach able to learn from this experience and take it forward to something like the Tokyo Olympics?
Yeah, so much, you know, just in terms of what mistakes you make and how you learn from them and how you learn to manage players and manage yourself under pressure, and being ready and willing to make decisions at the right time in the best interests of the team. You know, you don't always get it right, but you learn from experience to keep your thoughts and your mind clear and to keep yourself on a good emotional level so that you can make the big decisions when you need to make them. And to help the players be confident enough to make decisions for themselves. So it was a huge part of my development personally and professionally. And it was also just a really joyful experience in terms of being able to share it with this team that we'd managed to spend quite a lot of time together. And that itself was very special.
Absolutely. And again, having a lot of those players coming through, you know, it must be great that you know you can rely on these guys already in the big moments. And as they did for you in Lucknow, they once again did it for you in Tokyo. That must be something special, a nice feather in the cap as well.
It's so rewarding as a coach to see players continuing to improve and to grow. Both as players and as individuals. And it is very rewarding, and it's really, really fun to go on these experiences with the players and to travel with the guys. And just again to see the development that's taking place, and not just with the guys who are in the senior national team now, but you know, all the guys as individuals, their growth as young adults. And as people who contribute to society and grow in their professional environments, it's a great thing to see, and it's one of the beauties, I think, of under 21 hockey.
It absolutely is. I mean, look, I never managed to play under 21 hockey. I didn't manage to coach at a provincial level under 21. Sensational, you know, to see the quality. One of the things, though, and Kyle, I'm going to direct this at you first, is we seem to have a bad tail off sometimes. In South African hockey between under 21 and seniors. It's almost like the 22 to 25 age group is not sure where their place is. Why do you think that is?
I'm not too sure. I think what starts to happen is once you leave university, and you start to enter into the club realm, I think a lot of guys, to speak bluntly, I think a lot of guys start to walk into the working world and they start to live a different life than what they were used to at school and university level. You had all this free time and you could train and focus on your sport. And I think once you get into the working world, if you're not part of the, I think the setup, so to speak, I think it's tough to get yourself to go to a club training twice a week and a game on the weekend and take leave to go to provincial tournaments. And I mean, that's just purely from my perspective, how it feels. I think PHL's helped a little bit with bridging that gap. And I think, yeah, I think that's just sometimes what happens, and unfortunately. And it's, yeah, I just think that the bridge between club level and provincial is a bit too wide at the moment, and that's probably what it is.
It's such a good point, Carl. You made such a good point that I was speechless for a bit, and that doesn't happen. Also, I pushed the mute button. But yeah, I mean, Springs, we say that, but I mean, if we look at the Junior World Cup over the years, and we just look at, you know, the very first time we competed in Hobart in New Zealand. It was in 2001. There were just 12 teams. Oh, no, sorry. There were a full 16 teams that took part. And South Africa finished 11th place. And you look at that, it was 11th thanks to a victory in a shootout against Malaysia. You know, since then, a lot of those players went on and played for the national team, but a lot of those fell off and we never ever saw them again at provincial level. You know, Carl has mentioned the difficulty from the varsity to the professional side of things. Is there something deeper? Is there that we should have an under 25 level? Or is it just that's the way it is and we got to work in the boundaries that exist?
Look, I don't think every player is going to rise all the way to the senior ranks. That's a fact of life. But I do think that, you know, we are aware of that gap and we're trying to bridge it. That's why we've spent quite a lot of time, you know, making sure we have the depth in our senior squad and why we try and pick a South African A team as often as we possibly can to keep guys, competing and to keep guys playing at the level. I do think Kyle's point around the gap between club hockey and provincial hockey is just too big. We really need to pay more attention to our club hockey in South Africa, making it stronger and more consistent and more competitive. That'll make a huge difference to us and it'll keep those guys interested. But I think we never underestimate that for many guys, under 21 is the pinnacle of their career. It's the experience that they're looking for at international level. And then it's not, you know, senior international hockey is not for everybody. It's just another step up the ladder. And the reality is that not everybody's going to get there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful point, Springs, is that can very well be the pinnacle. And it's probably a great place to segue into looking at the 2021 Junior World Cup. Before we do, I asked one of the players to just say hi before we go.
How's it, everyone? It's Peter Jarvis here, the current SA Under 21 vice captain. I just wanted to say thank you very much to the nation and to Hockey the Podcast. We really appreciate your support over the last couple of months. Yeah, we're about to head off now to India to participate in the Junior World Cup. So thank you guys very much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's that excitement before the storm. It is the time when you get on that airplane and, you know, it becomes a reality. Now, the preparation, and Gareth, you can speak about this quite experiencedly, from a very experienced point of view, because the preparation for Sihle and his team has been what can only be described as curveball after curveball after curveball. If we look at the journey, there was no men's IPT for them to take part in. They did not get to go to an African Cup. They did not get to go and qualify for the World Cup. They qualified based on a higher ranking. There was no PHL. So many opportunities that were there for previous teams weren't there. Of course, a major opportunity that came along was the form of the CTM showdown. I think people underestimate how important that little series was for South African hockey. And I think, Springs, it would only be right to start with you. You've seen this team. They've had what can only be described as preparation from hell. But you've seen some excitement in those ranks. You've seen some players that are incredibly talented. And, of course, you and Sietle work very closely together. How are we poised? How are we placed? How is it going to go? Is this team something that's going to excite us? Do they have a chance?
Yeah, I mean, I really do feel for Sietle and his team, because I know how disrupted their preparation has been. And it was lucky that we could spend a little bit of time with them before the Olympics. I think the beauty of under 21 hockey is that as much as that preparation is important, everybody is on a is much closer to each other in terms of their level because of the lack of experience at that age group. So I think this team can go there and do really, really well. I think they're going to be competitive. I think based on their competitive spirit and their willingness to compete that we saw during the CTM challenge, I think they're going to definitely go there and hold their heads high. They've got a strong penalty corner. They've got two really good flickers in Fantonda and Morgan. And they're definitely going to go there and compete. And I think it's going to be really, really exciting to watch.
Kyle, you are a drag flick extraordinaire. I mean, when I was fortunate enough to have you on a provincial team that I was involved in the coaching and management staff on, I basically was just like, get it to a penalty corner and let Kyle flick. So you know the importance of a flick. And there's something about flickers. They seem to love going to big tournaments and making the most of the opportunity. What do you think of our drag flickers, Jacques Fantonda and Guy Morgan?
Yeah, I think they're good. As Springer said, I think they've got a very strong corner, and it's something that it's nice to have, especially when you've got two flickers like that. So I think just when you go to the tournament, you have to just back yourself, and you got to just try hit the target and do what you've been doing for so long. And I think they're in good hands there. I think those two flick really nicely. They score. From what I've heard, they've scored some proper goals and a good amount of them. So I think they're in good hands.
Yeah. The other thing that was impressive from the CTM showdown, Springs, was the competitiveness of the guys. Obviously, as we said, they hadn't had a lot of action. And obviously, your team hadn't had a lot of action. It was also missing a couple of players for various reasons. But the competitiveness of the under-21s must have been quite impressive to you.
Very much so, Tyron. You know, really, really strong competitive spirit, as I've already said. Some good physicality. Definitely want to get stuck in, and they hold their ground. So that kind of stuff is going to serve them in good stead. But I think underneath that, there's some solid tactical structure, and there's some genuine ability across all the lines in the field. And they're definitely going to be able to more than hold their own. I expect them to compete really, really well, and I expect them to take another step forward for this team and at that age group.
Well, and let's look at their challenge. So it's a very easy challenge to start off with, because they open the tournament on the 24th of November. That's next week sometime, with a nice easy game against Belgium, the current Olympic champions. And also Belgium have already been in India for 4 days before South Africa have departed. How much of an impact does that make?
Look, there's no doubt that acclimatizing is important. You know, you're speaking about them playing against, a team who's obviously, we know the success of their senior group, but the Belgian junior team are definitely going to be aiming to win the Junior World Cup. You know, a highly professional setup, a high expectation in the setup. But again, they're also just a group of young players who are still learning their way. So it'll be a huge challenge, but it's definitely something worth getting involved with. And at the end of the day, it's a World Cup. you're going to come across the big guns no matter what you do. So better to get it at first up and move on from there.
Yeah, and moving on from there, they will get to then play in their second game, Chile, and then Malaysia. So one of the nice things, and Carl, I'll bring in to you. I don't know if this was ever something for the players. I always like the idea of going to a World Cup and playing countries from different continents. So we got Europe with Belgium, South America and Asia. Chile and Malaysia on paper are two teams that South Africa should be able to compete with.
So I missed your question at time.
Yeah, I mean, just the opportunity there for the South Africans to play against countries from different continents, countries you wouldn't normally play. And on paper, and again, the game of hockey is not played on paper. Also, paper is much more about the senior squads. But on paper, South Africa should have a good chance against Chile and Malaysia.
No, of course. I mean, the opportunity that these boys have is unbelievable. They get to go and play against people from around the world, which you wouldn't normally do or have the opportunity to do. So without a doubt, that's a massive massive advantage to go and experience what it's like to play hockey against these different styles of hockey that come from around the world. And they're so lucky. What an experience. And I don't know what those other teams look like on paper, but what I've learned is the team on paper and the team that rocks up on the day are two very different things all the time. So never take any team lightly. Never overestimate anyone. Just respect them and play your game plan, and the rest will take care of itself.
Spoken like a true veteran of the game of hockey. Springs, obviously, this World Cup is a World Cup that has been affected by COVID. It caused it to be delayed at first. It obviously messed up with qualifiers. But what we've also seen is the withdrawal of Australia, England, and New Zealand. And of course, the nice thing about that was it allowed other countries the opportunity to compete. I think the likes of Poland were invited late on. USA managed to get a men's invite. So it opens it up for various teams. But, I mean, Australia is a six-time medalist. They've never finished lower than sixth. England, of course, regularly in the top eight. And New Zealand, when they've gone, not as prolific as the other two, but when they've gone, have always finished in the top 10. Of course, a little bit of a bogey side for South African men's hockey all around New Zealand. But, if we look at that, in your opinion, is it a good or bad thing for the tournament that these three nations have withdrawn?
Look, you can't ever say that a tournament is going to be better without those three top hockey-playing countries. So it's always a disappointment, and I think it's a disappointment for those young men who are not going to be able to be at the tournament. But again, it's an opportunity for somebody else, and you know, COVID has thrown its curveballs over the last few months, and this is just one more. I think everybody is happy that the tournament is going ahead, and I think everybody has kind of learned over the last few months that if you're disciplined in your bubble, you know, you can be relatively safe, although nothing is ever certain. And I think it will perhaps create opportunities for other players from other countries to perhaps step up and become, you know, future superstars.
And obviously, Springs, will you be watching this with that extra supporters eye, not just as a hockey fan, not as a proud South African, but also as players who could put their hands up for selection later this year for something like the World Cup or the FIH Nations Cup?
Absolutely, Tyrone. You know, there's a huge year coming up. We're always aware of our pipeline and the need for succession planning. And we know there's some significant talent in that group. I believe it's young talent that's got a lot of developing still to do. But I have no doubt that we're going to see some of those players that are now in Bhubaneswar featuring in the senior setup in the next 18 months.
Yeah, and just in the next 18 months, for the listeners, if you've been with your head in the clouds, your head in the sand, or maybe load shedding has denied you the opportunity to Google something the next couple of months for SA Hockey. Magnificent, because they're so busy. We've obviously got the Junior World Cup. We have the African Cup of Nations. Of course, by the time you listen to this, provided I release this after 12 o'clock, but by the time you listen to this, you've probably seen the men's squad going to the African Cup of Nations. Springs, I'm not going to get you to comment on it just in case I release it beforehand and I don't want you to get in trouble. But of course, that is South Africa's qualifier for the World Cup. We need to go to Ghana and beat Ghana, Egypt, Nigeria, Namibia, Zimbabwe, all of those going through. Of course, following that, there's the Indoor Hockey World Cup. Now, Springs won't be going to that, as that's under different tutelage. But it doesn't calm down after that. We've got the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. Of course, these are the Commonwealth Games that would have been in Durban. But we handed them over very politely. And then after that, we've got an FIH Nations Cup. There is also the launch of the Hockey Fives internationally. And in between all of this, we then have a World Cup back in India and a Junior Africa Cup of Nations as we look to see who qualifies for the 2023 Junior World Cup. I mean, it's enough to keep any hockey fan excited, but it's also quite an exhausting thing. And player management is going to be so important. But we have a massive opportunity here to go and shake it up, go and show the world South Africa is not just the kings of African hockey. We can be the kings. We want to dine at the king's table of world hockey. And a great place to start is the Junior World Cup. Apart from South Africa, and I know I'm asking both of you where we haven't had access to a lot of visibility of the under-21 teams because of COVID. We haven't had the under-21 championships. But if I was to ask you, who you think is a country to watch out for at this World Cup, who would you put your neck on the line based on history at least? I mean, but you're not allowed to say Germany because that's the obvious answer.
Yeah, for me, it's India. They're probably going to be one of the best prepared teams here. That under-21 squad has been together since before the Olympics. So, and also playing at home in front of their home support, even if it's mostly virtual. So, yeah, my money's on India.
Kyle, put your head on the block.
Sorry, I was gonna have to agree with Springer there. I just think to play India in India is a tough ask. And I'll take Springer's word for it. Them being together for a long period of time, you can bet your bottom dollar that they're going to be very, very well prepared, well drilled, super fit, super skillful. They're on a different level at home, I think. So I think I'd put my money on them.
And of course, they have a little bit of South African flair in that coaching staff. Is Clarkie not involved with the juniors as well?
I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of overlap with their support staff, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's involved somewhere along the line.
I'm just trying to double check it quickly. I'm pretty sure he is, and I don't want egg on my face. Or he's not, but Graham Reed is actually taking the reins as head coach for the under-21s. That in itself is quite a scary prospect.
Yeah, absolutely. Graham brings a huge amount of experience, and he knows how to win at every level. So he's gonna definitely have a role to play there.
Yeah, it brings the one other thing I wanted to ask you. We've spoken a lot about the players and the coaches, but the Under 21 World Cup also offers our officials an opportunity. And we don't always talk about officials, but it would be wrong not to wish good luck to Sean Rappaport. Raps is going over. He's a very popular umpire here in South Africa. But, you know, how big of an opportunity is this for an umpire?
Oh, it's massive. It's a big stepping stone. I actually think it's Raps' second Junior World Cup, if I'm not mistaken. So he'll be going there as a very senior umpire, and he is going to, I'm sure, get some really important games to officiate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's one of the best in South Africa. It's going to be an incredible tournament. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Of course, you can watch. We know that Indian Hockey today released a statement to say the first half of the games will all be available on the Watch Hockey app. That's the FIH Watch Hockey app. You can watch it there free of charge. The second half of games, Star Sports. So hopefully SABC and DSTV are doing something here to buy the rights for it. And of course, we will be having a different chat about the Junior World Cup for women. Well, that's just around the corner here in South Africa. Kyle, how big of an advantage is that for our South African girls? Unfortunately, it's going to be played behind closed doors because of COVID fears. But how big of an advantage is it to not have to travel for the World Cup to host it here in your own country?
Well, I mean, as Spring says, to acclimatize is a big part of it. And to be able to be settled here, training, you know the climate here while you've played here. I mean, your whole life, you're very accustomed to the conditions. To have home support, to be around a familiar environment, it's a huge difference. So it makes a huge difference. So yeah, that's massive for them. Very chuffed for them.
All right. So we do a normal thing. And Carl, what I'm going to ask is, as the younger of the two guests, just by a few hours, but Carl, while I'm talking through the next thing, I want you to think, what is the song that the under-21s, who are all going to listen to this podcast, what is the song that you would recommend they listen to pump them up before a game? And we'll play it at the end. But while we do, let us have our stat of the show. I'm going to try and talk slowly to give you a little bit of time there, Carl.
You've given a lot of time, you know. Putting you on the block, yeah.
Yeah, in fairness, when Kyle was in a Southern Gauteng side that I was involved in, he was not our DJ.
For good reason.
In fact, I think the only thing Kyle wanted to play on the radio was the speeches, the speech, the inches speech.
Jeez, okay. Good memory.
You know, some things. All right, so stat of this week's show at the 2016 Junior World Cup. South Africa men finished 10th, our highest place ever, scoring 11 goals in the process. The top goal scorer in that tournament for South Africa was Ryan Crowe, beating Kyle Lien-Kashe by just one. So that was your stat of the week, proudly brought to you by Insert Sponsor's Name here. Insert Sponsor's Name, if you feel like it, you can contact me on any social media. Or if you back our head coach of the SA hockey sides, you can have free sponsorship. So we'll put that out there for you. All right, Carl, have you thought of a song? Otherwise, hopefully, Gareth is thinking of something in the background.
The only song at the moment that's sort of taking the world by storm is the Sama by Zach Spontini. So that would be my recommendation.
All right. So, Kyle, Springs, thanks very much for joining. To the junior team, to Sigs and your coaching staff.
Always a pleasure.
Good luck. Make us proud. And here to take you home is Zex Bantwini and Kasangu with Osama.
Thanks, Tyron. Appreciate it.